I'd like to call this meeting to order. Special meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors. You must rise and join me in a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carol, can you call roll?
President Tetro. Vice President Simon.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Steele.
Thank you. Put my glasses on.
I'll take mine off.
Okay, this brings us to a public comment. The public's invited to get up and comment on any item that is not on the agenda. You have 3 minutes to say what you'd like to say. There'll be no dialogue with the board, and any questions would go through the chair. That's it. Come on up.
My name is Randy Zero. I just came back from a 5,600-mile route, Route 66, and during that process, I've been hearing from my colleagues for pickleball that we've been pushed back another time, another place, just to line those courts over Cornell Park. I am appalled at the situation that you guys cannot implement a simple organization like 31 people that we've signed up as of January the 1st to play this game. It's the best and up-and-coming sport in the nation that I've understood it to be. But like I said, I got home about an hour ago. I'm here, and I'm just concerned about the board putting off for the thing that we're looking for, to just stripe some lines at Cornell Park. Then I understand you want to push this over to the tennis court, which I can also see is going to cost us $3 like everybody else pays. So I would like to just see the board be a little more organized on giving us a small item that it's not like an $8,000 or $10,000 item that it was 2 months ago to light Cornell Park. For what? At 10 o'clock everybody goes home. But you don't have any problem putting out $8,000 or $10,000 for that kind of item. We're just looking to strike the courts over at Cornell Park, and we'll be out of your hair. You won't have to see us. But every month we keep hearing that you keep putting us back. I'm not happy with the situation, and I wish you guys would get something in order with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment?
Yeah, hi. Hey, good evening. My name's George Holmberg, and right now I'm just the president of our pickleball club. And, we probably used that Cornell Park more than anybody. We've been using it now for going on 5 years now, and we use it 3 to 5 times a week. And granted, yeah, you have other organizations that use your parks, but most of that is seasonal, and we're pretty much there 365. And you guys probably don't know this, but I mean it's been the fastest growing game in the United States for the last 15 years. Chambers of commerce all over the United States, if they have the money, are putting in pickleball courts where they used to put in tennis courts, because the game has just gained amazing popularity. But like I said, we as a group, and then we've invited other clubs to come over. We can have clubs from anywhere from Sacramento to Southern California to Walnut Creek, you name it, Petaluma. All these people want to come over to play pickleball here in Discovery Bay, and we don't have the facility to do that right now. And I know she's helped, and we thought we had budget for this, and apparently that has been pulled, which is probably unfair due to the fact that we use the facility so much, the park. And I'd really like you guys to consider that, because when you have that many people that want to use it that many days a week, you could show up and you would see that. In fact, we've been signing these papers for the last 5 years, just documenting the fact of how many people show up, how many days a week, and even on the weekends. So please consider that, because very minor, it also brings economics into the issue, because when we have tournaments, people come from all over, and granted, they're just going to go to local restaurants, but still, we have this opportunity to bring other people into Discovery Bay just by having a pickleball club. But if you don't do anything, it really hurts us. And what if we got all these people? What are we supposed to do? Because we have to drive to Sacramento to play, which is ridiculous, or Walnut Creek, or San Jose. And so this is a perfect opportunity for just a midpoint place to play this game. So anyway, thank you very much. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. President, if I can comment, hold for me for a minute, respond to some of the comments that were made. First of all, it is in the budget, and it's continuing to be in the budget for next next fiscal year. This board is not responsible for holding it off. It's staff's responsibility. I want you to know that right now. It was a decision that we were looking at all of our different options relative to Cornell Park, relative to the community center site. And so it was not the board. The board gave staff direction to move to Cornell Park a while back. We acquired the community center site, and consequently, we were looking at a number of different alternatives. I believe that you were working with Barron on some of the siding and some of the issues over there. So Randy, I just want you to know it wasn't the board that did it. It was, if you have a beef, you have it with me, please. Okay, so with that, thank you, Mr. President.
Vice President, actually.
Vice President, this is not elevate the situation.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
This brings us to the special item, special meeting of the annual fiscal year 2013-14 and 14-15 preliminary draft operating capital and revenue budgets. I'm going to turn that over to staff.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, members of the board, members of the public, staff. Pleased to present to you the draft of our fiscal 2013 through 2015 preliminary budget, both operating capital as well as revenues. The Budget Review Committee, consisting of President Tetro and Vice President Simon, have met and reviewed the budget with staff about a month or so ago. And the initial draft of the budget was presented at your regular meeting on May the 15th. This year, we're doing something a little bit different. We are rolling out a two-year budget plan as opposed to the traditional one-year. The reason we're doing that is it gives us, as well as the board and the public, a better view of what our longer-term forecast would be. And so we will only be adopting a one-year budget, but it will be the second year will always be the round, it will always be a rolling budget, so it will be the basis for the next year's budget. For 2013-14, budget-wide expenditures of $13.2 million with revenues of $13.2 million. Those revenues and expenditures match. The operating budget, when you first look at the numbers, is 18% higher than it was last year. The difference is debt service and contributions to reserves. When you take those out, when you are net of contributions to reserves and net of debt service, we are at about 5.5% over year to year. Our revenues, we're proposing tomorrow night, you will be receiving a presentation by Bartlewells Associates that's recently completed the draft of their four-year rate study. Should be noted that CPI for water and sewer facilities is 4.7%. We're recommending a 2.7%. That's you'll be hearing more about that tomorrow. So that's what our revenues are based upon. The CIP is $7.13 million. That tracks almost identically with the CIP that you've approved and reviewed a number of times going through the master planning process as well as the capital financing process. We do have three changes to that we'll get to when we get to the CIP in a minute. The parks budgets, Zone 8, we'll spend some time talking about this evening. Zone 9 is tracking and doesn't have any issues with Zone 9. You've already seen previously the county zones, and the counties approved those. They're not in your packet tonight, but they will be included in the final budget document. The parks budget with respect to Zone 8, it does include the addition of two new employees, two new FTEs. One is a parks and maintenance worker, one. It's essentially a landscape maintenance person, as well as a 10/12 of a community center position to work in the community center as we begin to roll out programming in the next fiscal year. At the May 7th community center committee meeting, we'll discuss this a little bit later in the meeting. The community center committee recommended to the board that they approve the renovation of the community center facility building itself. That renovation estimate is $552,000. There is a proposed budget for you in the packet that you received electronically. It's not in the book, but it's in the electronic version. And there are a variety of different revenue sources that can be utilized for funding that construction. What I'd like to do at this point in time is go through the document real quickly. We'll just briefly go through some of the items and highlight some of the items. If there's anything that jumps out at you while I'm going through this, please, this is the time to stop and ask questions. We've got all the backup, all the detail, and so we can go ahead and do that. The first couple of pages kind of just describe the budget in general with respect to my transmittal letter to the board, as well as to anybody that wants to read the document. You can see that it's similar to last year. We've in presentation, but one thing we've done this year is we've broken out the different departments into different divisions. So you'll see, for example, under general manager with the administration department, you'll see that we have a list of accomplishments and objectives for this current past year and objectives moving forward, goals we want to be able to go ahead and achieve.
Which page are you? I have no idea where you are.
I'm sorry, you know, the pages, because it was a, they didn't get added in at this point, but they will be. If you go to this page right here and turn one, two over, it will say at the top, Department General Manager Program Area Administration. You with me? Okay. And so what we did for each of our divisions and each of our programs, we have a sheet and a page for each one that describes each of the programs and what the accomplishments, what our goals are for the next coming fiscal year. You move on to financial services, very similar. We move into the water quality division with respect to water and wastewater. And some of these pictures are going to change, and the paper is going to change a little bit in the final document, so it'll be a little bit more professional. We apologize for some of the issues we had with our printer in the smearing of the ink.
I thought they were inked. I was actually seeing something in there. I thought it was a test.
What do you call it? Warship.
Whatever that is. Yeah, I couldn't think what it was called.
Anyway, so you go through, and we wanted to make sure that each department manager and the staff know what our goals are. You know, what we did this year, so that the board knows and the public knows, but also what we are trying to accomplish in the next year. And we're also looking to input based upon what the board wants us to do. And we took some of the considerations that were discussed at the board workshop back in February and included some of those in here as well. Moving on to recreation, the big first item page is the revenue page, where the money comes from. If you have that chart, you can see essentially that revenues are projected $13,276,000, which tracks with our expenditure. On the next page, and you can see the breakdown of all the different revenues and where our money comes from. On the next page that has the bar graphs, we're going to change those to pie charts in the final document. It'll be a little bit easier to read, I think. And so now we're going to get into the budget itself. The operating budget, you have there's a three-page pullout for you. And so what we did, you can see under the salary and wages section of the budget, we ended up, if you look about halfway down, there's numbers all the way down on the halfway down side, but there's none on the right-hand side. We've gone ahead, and this is a town-wide budget. These are all town-wide salary numbers. So we've gone ahead and rolled up the landscape numbers into the budget. Instead of having them listed as reimbursements and that sort of thing, those reimbursements, if you go back to the revenue page, are listed under the revenues. So where there are revenues, for example, there are revenues of about $298,000. So about $298,000 of that 809 comes from Parks and Landscape. That makes sense. This budget is really a status quo budget from the last 2 years from an operating and maintenance standpoint. Very few numbers have changed. The big number is the addition of the debt service. This past year was 409 moving forward, or this current year was 409 moving forward. We have a full year's worth, so it's $828,000. The board of directors' compensation has been adjusted accordingly. The travel and the meetings, that sort of thing. It's nice when you have a two-year forecast, because one of the things you can do is, for example, the general meetings that the board would attend and that I would attend, this year take place in Northern California, whereas next year they're in Southern California. Further on down the line, there's not going to be an election this year, but there's going to be an election cycle next year. So we're able to be able to include those costs depending on where things are and what takes place in each of the annual cycles. The water and services contract, that's the $1,196,801. That's our contract with Veolia. The preventive and corrective fund of $107,000, that's a contractual amount. You'll see that the number that we year-to-date expense of that contractual amount is $264,000 for $157,000 override. But there's a reason for that. One is we cash accrue our budgets, and so Veolia was very late last fiscal year in getting some of their invoices to them in the second half of the calendar of the fiscal year. So a lot of those hit later in the year, or hit this year's budget, as well as, if you recall, we did a bioassay test at the wastewater treatment plant. We did not fund that. Theoretically, it was a contract that was with that Veolia entered into with the contractor, and we told them to charge it to this line item. So we knew it was going to be going over at the time.
So Rick, we talked about this in the budget meeting. What are we doing to change it this year?
Talked to them, and they are going to be they're getting their invoices in now in a much more timely manner. There are also some things that we believe were incorrectly attributed to it. There could have been some pumps and motors that should have been charged in the pumps and motors line item. That we'll get to in a minute that have it, and we're in the process of going through. Virgil's been working on that along with Dean and Veolia, so we've been working on those.
We have some kind of clause with them. If they're not in a timely manner, we don't own.
I think we can do that.
I tried that, actually.
Well, I mean, there needs to be some reason to make them bring them in on time.
It's one of those things that you would be short 1 year and you went over the next, so the money would be the same, but it is frustrating.
But it still looks terrible in a budget. It's 150 grand.
How often are they submitting invoices?
Monthly.
They're supposed to submit them monthly.
And how far behind on average are they?
They are not now. They gave us probably, October, one from April last year. It went months and months and months back. They were large dollar.
All right, so they're current.
They're caught up now.
With respect to the regular contract, Director Pease, you might not be familiar with this. I know the rest of the board members are. The water...
They get billed out monthly on that one.
Yeah, it gets billed out monthly. And we pay within, I believe it's 15 days.
We take a discount.
We get a 1% discount. It's about $1,000 a month. So, right. so when those bills come in, we're really quick to get them.
But the items that we're talking about here are additional over and above the contract due to maintenance. Unforeseen items and maintenance things, and so they've been slow on getting those invoices to us. Very slow. All right. Might I suggest when we're out here, we just say that there's just right in the next contract that they would be a 10% penalty if those types of invoices are not received in a timely fashion. We'll let staff figure out what timely is based on how, but that might get their attention in the next bidding process.
So where are you?
Okay. We are just leaving water, wastewater service contract. We're going to go down to legal. You can see that we had this year a budget of
123.
Oh, there we go, 123.5. We have increased that, thank you. By the way, you all have new rulers to use that we provided, which might make it easier for you to track with. And I'm not even using mine. So what we did is we increased, because we know we have litigation this coming year, we did increase our budget to account for that. So we're moving from 123,000 to 150,000 on that one line item alone. Obviously, if the lawsuit gets resolved and we don't spend it, we don't spend it. So we did break it out where it's always, where legal was always in, just legal, we've broken it out now. So there's litigation and contracts administration, a little bit more breakdown so we can see where we're spending our money, whether it's just general town business or whether it's with litigation.
Based on districts, our size, legal expenses of $12,000 a month, is that, to me, it sounds like a lot.
Got a lawsuit and costs.
Well, I know, but, you know, 144, you go to 150, so.
We're about 75. I did go back. Our base legal looks like it's about $6,600 a month. And so we added the $70,000 in anticipation of the litigation that's coming up, not knowing what that's going to be. So the base legal fee is the base legal fee. There's certainly, the board certainly has options in that field.
So we're contracted at about $75,000 a year, and we doubled that for litigation.
Well, if you recall some of the conversations with our attorneys, once you get into litigation, it could be as high as about $10,000 a month to try the case. And so that's what we were looking at when we came up with this number.
Well,
we worked with Dan to come up with it.
I don't want to get into the legal issues later in other months to come. I'm just trying to get comfortable with it now.
So the way I'm reading this is that we budgeted 90,000. Oh, I'm sorry.
123.
We budgeted 123.5 minus litigation. I'm confused.
We budgeted.
We didn't budget.
Looks like about $35,000 for litigation this year.
Okay, but I'm looking at. Oh, I'm sorry. 12-13 actuals is 123. No, that's budgeted. What's actuals for 12-13? We don't have that yet. Year to date is.
We budgeted about $43,000 this year for litigation, but we rolled it all up into one line item, just under legal. This year we're splitting it out, so it
so
breaks
basically
it up
80 and 43.50, right?
Correct.
43.5.
Yes.
So you 80 and 43.5. Okay.
And,
all right.
And if you recall, we were reimbursed $35,000 in those legal fees.
No, I'm sure. And then we'll have the litigation fund. Yeah.
Have litigation. Yes.
Right. When you the budget of $70,000, is that that we're referring to Hoffman/Kuiper?
That's correct.
Okay.
So Rick, you're not actually budgeting $6,700 a month. At 123.5 is a hell of a lot more than $6,300 a month. You had that number before you added litigation to it.
The 123.5 includes the litigation $43,500. So your base legal service fee is $80,000.
Southwest Water.
But you bumped it to 150.
This year we're bumping it to 150 moving forward.
It's the 80,000 stays the same.
The 80,000 has not changed. In fact, we brought it down from 2 years ago.
From 90,000.
I see that.
But we're adding a line item called litigation to break. So we don't have the same kind of questions with how much does our legal fees cost? Well, our legal fees cost is this, unless we get sued, or we have to protect ourselves, or we have some sort of litigation.
Right.
Then we have a budget for that. And therefore, because otherwise it is foggy and gray, and that's why we're having the confusion now, is because it was all glommed into one package.
Okay, so the question for you, your 123.5 already included Kuiper, you're figuring Kuiper and Hoffman? Or no?
The 123.5 included Southwest Water and our regular legal fees.
So where do you show the 30-something thousand coming in that should have come in against that that we collected from Southwest?
Is that 46 in net?
If you go back to the revenue page,
that is where.
I understand. Oh, okay. So we don't have it here. It doesn't show here.
There's no input. There's no inputs here. This is all outgo.
Right. Okay.
That's out. But if you go to the revenue page,
where is it?
Yeah, but here's my deal, though. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's where... If you look about... It's called miscellaneous receivables. It is about five or six up from the bottom.
Of which page?
The revenue, where the money comes from page.
The one that says revenues, where the money comes... Go back about three pages.
Go back to the document.
Mark, go back about three pages. Yeah, backwards. Or forwards, or backwards, or whatever.
So go more towards the front of the document. And so if you look at where it says miscellaneous receivables, and you look at our budget... Our estimated receivables was $2,000 for this current fiscal year. But if you look at what our proposed actuals are, they're $276,000. That's the $230,000 plus the $35,000 we got reimbursed from Southwest Water. That's $230,700 we got back from the state, which we received last week, or from the court, and then the $35,000 from...
It will show as a credit on here. We have not...
No, I understand that. Now, I know, but shouldn't that show the miscellaneous receivables? I mean, that's a huge input. If somebody in the town says, I'd like to look at this.
No, it's going to show up on this budget as a credit under...
Okay, that's my question.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. So it's going to offset the 46,000.
That's my question. Okay. Instead of being on a different page under revenues, it's going to be under here, so it shows money came back where money
because went. What we're showing is an expense of 46,291, which isn't a true expense. It's 46,291 minus 36,000 or whatever.
Remember, you have a revenue in, and then you have an expenditure out. What you're looking at right now is just these.
I know. I'm thinking net. I understand.
I just want to make sure that it shows someplace so that a simple person looking and go, oh, your money came right back where this went out.
Well, what I think it should do is if you're gonna put down a line item that says legal litigation, $46,000 over budget, then on the revenue source it should say legal litigation revenue in, so it can offset this, so people can put the two and two together. They should be somewhat lined up, linear somehow, so you can say, okay, this is what it's just like going back to the initial $235,000 expenditure that we made how many years ago, Virgil? Did we pay $235,000 into 7 years ago?
No, we did it last year. Oh, yeah. But we never actually paid.
Oh, that's right. That was never an expenditure. That was.
It wasn't. It didn't happen until
2009.
It happened
by not paying a bill and their contribution.
Right? And we paid the state in May of 2012 $241,000.
Yeah,
$231,000. Of which was, and that came out of reserves, and we reimbursed that back into reserves.
It
went right back to the county in our reserve fund.
Okay. Did we ever write off that $120,000 in bills that we never collected from Southwest? How did we handle that accounting procedure? We didn't pay them how much?
$113,000. We owed them.
Was part of the money we got
we
back.
Kept it.
But did we?
Virgil, correct me if I'm wrong, you were here at the time, I wasn't, but I understand that we held back a payment, and then they made a contribution, Southwest Water did, I believe, of another month's payment into the escrow fund of approximately $231,000. Okay. And then we paid the $231,000 last year out of our own resources and got reimbursed that just last week.
Somewhere that was a payable that didn't get paid though.
That's correct.
Okay. Alright.
It got paid to escrow.
Right. I'm off. Sorry. ADP came
up.
Okay, moving on down to outside services in the 7200 category. We've already been there. I'm sorry. Down into accounting. That's basically our audit, our annual audit. Moving down to the 7100s, staff training, memberships, dues, and subscriptions. Under memberships, you recall we have an annual membership fee of approximately, I believe it's $10,000, which makes up the majority of that. And that has to do with some of our work with the Central Valley Board, as well as some of our permits that we have, or some of our dues we have to pay, or memberships we
before
have to
you
pay
change
to the
pay,
state.
Before you turn the page,
yeah.
If we were 34% over on our accounting budget, why did we not raise it? Why were we over by that, by $6,000?
I'll let Dean address that.
We would change our chart of accounts, and so I wanted to work with the auditors to make sure that they came in, they kind of reviewed our new chart of accounts, we kind of looked at the new software conversion for QuickBooks into this new Excel system.
Got it.
So
okay.
They worked with us.
Understood.
So that's the over.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Understood. The minute you said software, I understood.
It was the conversion.
I remember that now. I had forgotten that. Yep. We went through that process.
Yeah.
And your training and your time going back there and all that stuff.
If you want to write at the very top of the next page over the word actual, just so you can track with us, you should just write down 2011-12 and then under budget 12-13. We've gone ahead and combined some areas and broken some areas out. The election expense you see there, we don't have one this year, but we'll have one next year. The last item in that 7315 category, public communications and notifications, that is for our CCR, essentially our consumer confidence report, as well as our Prop 218 noticings. This year, we brought this to the attention of the Budget Review Subcommittee and explained to them that for our recall, we went through a fairly painful telephone and computer upgrade earlier part of the year. While they were very successful at the end of the day, they were more than we had anticipated, significantly more, as a matter of fact. And so we're not anticipating as much moving forward, but we did do. We did exceed those budgets.
Well, that's why you have 24,000 and 23,700.
Well, you have you're maintaining that.
But I thought
the expense, if it was a one-time expense, why is it being carried over?
I'm sorry. I went to the wrong line. We need to go down a little bit further. So stick with me. Under materials for the. We'll get to the IT and the phone stuff in a second.
I'm sorry. I'm with you.
No, I
yeah,
jumped.
I got you.
Okay. Vehicle and equipment, diesel fuel, vehicle and equipment fuel, and automotive supplies and repairs. As you can see, if you look under the 12-13 budget, we budgeted $30,000. And that is for vehicles and equipment fuel plus diesel. We've gone ahead and broken it out another line item with automotive supplies and repairs. If you go over the proposed budget, you'll see the number stays the same. We broke it out a little more so we can break out what's fuel and what's actual vehicle maintenance. So it's not all combined into one category. The next line item is a very large line item. It's $100,000. And the next one below that is $550,000. Those are for the pumps and repairs, our general repairs. Those are for when things break, we need to replace them, or when they need maintenance, they need to be addressed. And the general repairs is essentially, we have water leaks in town, similar to what Director Peace experienced in front of his house approximately 10 days ago. We had to send the contractor out and do the repair there. And we got a number of those over the course of the year. And if you recall from a couple of years ago, we were under budgeting that number, and we've gone ahead and appropriately budgeted, I believe. And so if we spend it, we spend it. If we don't, we don't. But it's there because we need to have that budget line item in order to accomplish that work. So now we get down to the info systems maintenance and equipment maintenance. You can see that we budgeted about $20,000, and we came in at about $37,000. It was a much more time-consuming process. The pipes weren't in the street, so to speak. We didn't have the lines. We didn't have the highway for the internet to come here. We did, if you recall, we don't have traditional telephone. We went to VoIP. So we had to bring in the internet here as well as over at our other locations. It was just one of those items that unfortunately was more expensive than we had anticipated.
I get what you're saying, but I'm not following your numbers.
Neither am I.
Yeah,
of those two numbers.
Where are you at 30,000?
You mean 16,850,000?
See that either.
Yeah, under info systems maintenance, 7409.
I see 49,255 for year to date.
I'm going to let Dean explain that one.
So we budgeted 16,8. We spent almost $50,000. We were over by 32,455.
Right.
That was because of when we did change our email. We added all that new stuff for our phone system.
Stuff over the other offices.
Yeah, the other offices here. We had to get a new T1 line. We just did not have the infrastructure. And we tried to budget for it.
Which now I understand why it's back down again. Because now it's just a maintenance cost, it's not an initial cost that we didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
Okay.
The computer software, while it doesn't, just so you know what it represents, we're not really buying any new software. Our annual subscription fees, primarily to Cassell, are software, financial software programs. And you can see where we were this year with that. Moving down, not many surprises.
Do, building repairs, you show zero spent, zero budgeted, zero in the future, and I know we put roofs and stuff on.
It's actually down further under rent facility expense.
Then what's building repairs? Thank you. Okay. I know somebody's saying it's a bathroom, but they don't know.
It's the next page. See, while that had, you can see that line item that you're referring to has zero all the way across the board.
Yeah, that was my question.
And so what would have happened is if it would have had a number in the prior year, even though zeros were there, it still would have shown up until it dropped off, and now it's dropped off.
So is it going to be under 74,441 in the future?
Yeah.
No.
It's
going to
be under 7441. 7441, yes.
Okay, thanks.
And it is there.
I have a question. On the electronic version that we were sent, evidently doesn't have the 7400 series of chart of account numbers on it.
The electronic version that you received, Director Peace, is this one page, and it takes all the different subcategories and rolls it up into what you see in the page that's in the electronic version, if you will. What we're giving you, what you're seeing now, is the much more detailed level of breakdown.
All right. Hold on just one second. Carol, would you change the roll call and show the director?
Yes. Still there?
On the 7441, the building maintenance, we did some work this year. We did the biggest job we did here was the was painting the building, and if you recall last year we had talked about replacing the carpeting in this building, but what we ended up doing, since if you recall later at the end of the last calendar year we talked about the possibility of some office relocations and maybe renovating an office or leasing space, so put all that on hold, and pending the outcome of the discussion that will take place later this evening as well as in the future with respect to the renovation of the community center. If the board did determine that was the direction they wanted to move in, that would, the community center building would include a facility, would include a space, if you will, to conduct board meetings at that location so the public doesn't have to sit wait outside in the hot sun, in the summertime during closed sessions, or in the rain or cold in the wintertime. And so if that were to take place, then what we would do is we would take this building, we'd renovate it, put a conference room in, we'd move Virgil over here, that sort of thing. So it didn't happen because we wanted to make sure that we had everything lined up before we went forward. So we're basically rebudgeting some of that.
Okay.
our insurance, we get hit each year at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the fiscal year, so it gets spent right away. Moving on to the next page. No real surprises at all here. The biggest one is debt service 7537. You can see that's our payment on the debt, 409 this year, moving up to 828 next year. That's allocated and financed and funded already, as well as a contribution to reserves of $225,000.
The bump from 409 to 828 is because it was a partial year?
It was half a year, yes.
Thank you.
And the repayment of borrowed reserves, that should actually be 200,000, not 210. But that is the refunding or repaying, if you will, our general operating reserve account for the portion that we use to purchase the community center. So that would repay that. So if you look at the bottom of the blue line there, it says 6140. And if you remove the debt of 828 and the 225,000 contribution to reserves, 210,000 replenishment of reserves, you end up with $4,877,000. Last year was $4.6 million, so we're not that far off. The big numbers are, you know, the legal fees. We didn't increase in too many areas.
Are these numbers backwards here?
Yeah.
The 39 and 40 are they got swapped?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yeah, they did on mine for some reason, but they did on yours.
Yeah, they're backwards.
I must have a newer version. Do you have any more questions on the operating and maintenance? We can certainly come back to it, but if you don't have any at this time, we'll go ahead and roll on over to the CIP. The pullout that you have is the same pullout that is in the electronic version. However, it's larger so that those of us that have failing eyesight can read it a little bit more clear. The only three items that we've added to the CIP that you have not seen before, Director, Vice President Simon and President Tetro did see these as part of the presentation we made earlier to them as the Budget Review Subcommittee. Is a leak detection device to be able to provide Virgil and his staff the ability to locate leaks. Leaks are, they can be picked up with very sensitive sonic listening devices, so they can triangulate where the leak is. We've been using the City of Brentwood, we've been bringing them in on occasion to help us in that area. So we put $30,000 in for that. We included a two-yard tractor of $100,000. That's to help out with the biosolids project, as well as a number of other things we have moving on around town. So we included that in the budget.
I have a question on the usage of that. You just mentioned biosolids, so this will be used. Is this a daily use type of equipment?
It would be regularly used. Right now we have a dump truck. And as the dump truck gets filled up, it goes and drops it into the drying sheds. And this would provide another option to be able to move the solids, because we have to move them from the drying sheds into a storage area, if you recall, on the outside of the building where the byproduct is. And that is done with the yield, Virgil, which is a very small, if you've seen it, it's a very small bucket, and it's a much more time-consuming process. This would be a much more efficient process. It's a much larger bucket. It's a two-yard bucket, or maybe larger, depending on what we're successful in acquiring. We would more than likely purchase this piece of equipment used relatively relatively new, but used within the last couple of years, a certain number of hours, and certain specifications. In fact, our contractor that we use, Jim Williams of JW Construction, has discussed it with both Virgil and I, and he's given us some good advice and suggestions. And Virgil's already been down that path before relative to acquiring different pieces of equipment at a good price.
Well, there's where I was going with this, to anticipate used equipment. I mean, Hertz has their rental yards and they sell off their equipment. So I was just kind of scratching my head at $100,000 for
a
2 yard tractor.
Well, it's a much more expensive piece of equipment, brand new. And for example, we bought the dump truck and we purchased it used and it's operating just fine. We purchased the trash pump a year or so ago and we purchased that brand new because we wanted to have the warranty for failures and that sort of thing, because that's a piece of equipment that when we need it now. If the tractor were to have a mechanical issue, we have time to get it repaired.
I agree, but I just was thinking $100,000 for a budget on a used tractor, a little high.
Well, it's no more than a placeholder. We're going to certainly get the best price we possibly can. If we get it for less, we're going to get it for less.
All right.
That's not going to replace the dump truck, right?
Oh, no, it's not going to replace it. It's
both backup, or we're going to use
it would be backup, but more importantly, it would be when you move the biosolids, the dried product from inside the buildings to outside the building. Right now, it's like using a small shovel instead of a backhoe. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and this is for general purposes. This cannot be done without the vote of the board anyway. Even when it comes to, even whether we put it in the budget or not, you can't go spend it.
Oh, that's correct. Anything, most of these items that are in here, anything that exceeds my spending authority, which is $10,000, has to go before the board to approve. And this is one of those items that would be a formal bid because it exceeds the informal bidding procedures, and you would be involved in the whole process the whole way.
Yeah. I was just curious for the need and use. So you've answered the question. Thank you.
Okay. The last item down at the very bottom of the page, we added, you can see under the infrastructure replacement fund, we added generator replacement fund program. Our generators are starting to age, and we've had some problems with just recently with one of them, and we're going to have to start putting in some funds to replace them at some point in time. And so we started with a very modest $50,000 replacement fund. Now, some of these generators are small, the trailerable ones, and they're not $50,000 items. But as you know, right out here over at Newport, down at both plants, we have the big, very, very large stationary fixed generators. And so that's really what we're starting to build.
How often do those kick in?
Those
are run almost every other week for an hour. Just for maintenance?
Pardon me?
Just for maintenance and just to make sure they're available when they need to be. And yet the life expectancy on them, I mean, they've never run for an extended, we've never had to use them in an emergency situation, have we?
Yeah, we've had to use them quite a few times.
Have we?
When you lose commercial power, they come on automatically.
How long are they usually on for?
They have to stay on so the power is come back, and then another 20 to 30 minutes after that for cool down. Now, the other factor is the diesel engines do not meet the new California codes for emissions. So we have one big generator that does not meet that code. And as we purchase it, we do purchase it to replace it, it's going to be very expensive.
You can do the upgrade on this one, though, can't you?
We
the
probably
same as
could, but right now we're exempt because we don't, on these out here, because we don't go over the number of hours that they give us on a permit.
Virgil, can you give us a quick rundown on the generator that failed on us just last week, I believe?
The generator that failed was a 150 kWA, and that was an engine failure, and we're working with John Deere to try to get that engine repaired and hopefully under warranty so that they can get that.
How many hours were on that?
Less than 100.
How long have we had it?
2007.
Okay, but I mean, I can tell you, I've had diesels, and the point was I've got diesels now. These aren't designed to go out at 100 hours. They're not designed to be replaced at 100. I mean, to put $50,000, even think of spending $50,000 on these generators,
there should be nothing wrong with these things. If they're serviced, they should go for years and years and years. And either we need to have somebody come in and look at them, who knows what he's talking about. I can't see budgeting 50 grand for generators.
This would be for, this is not just to buy an annual generator. This is to build a fund, a replacement fund, so that when one does fail and it's a 250 thing, I'm not going to speak out of school. Virgil, what's the cost of one of these large generators?
I don't know. I don't recall what they were. These Caterpillar ones that I have out here, I don't remember. But they are expensive. They're really based on KVA.
So what these replacement funds do is provide the district with the ability. It's our way of having a
just money in the savings.
Rick, I totally agree. I have no problem with putting money away but not 50 grand. I mean, you're looking, these generators could go another 30 years at the rate we use them. Those diesel motors are made to go thousands of hours before they break. We don't use these at all, and to stick 50 grand a year into our budget for generators, I think is just exorbitant.
Well, that's certainly the board's discretion. And I certainly have that.
I'd like to see that change to 10 grand. The next 10 years, you'll have 100 grand. I don't think you'll ever replace one of these in our lifetime.
Well, it may not be one of those. It might be something else.
Well, one of
is that reserve fund?
If I can do this between now and June 19th, if I can work with Virgil and get some costs, because at some point in time, you're going to have to replace them, just like you have to replace other pieces of equipment that we own.
But we use the other equipment. These just sit there idle. I grant you, they're going to take maintenance somewhere down the road, but they're not going to take, it could be another 10 to 20 years before you have to do any major day.
Well, the maintenance is covered in the operating budget. It's not covered in the
capital. And we're doing regular maintenance on
this. We do regular maintenance
on this.
And we put no hours on it.
I mean, I don't have a problem putting money away for future use, and then we could reallocate the funds in that particular category if it needed to go to something else in the future. We have the money in the budget to make it happen.
Does that money end up sitting in our quote unquote reserve fund or in a separate fund?
It's in the reserve fund, but it's allocated separately.
We have another reserve fund on top of that.
So when somebody looks at our books, or we ask you the question, what's in our reserve, it includes these funds in that answer?
We would break it out for you.
Is this restricted?
I understand that. Okay.
We have it all goes to the county, but it just goes into one account as reserves, general operating
reserves.
Right,
it's only separated by
accounts. So we separate it by accounts.
I get that.
So that's the capital. Like I said, there's no real surprises in here. It tracks with what you've seen for the past 2 years. There's nothing new in the future years, with the exception of in the fifth year, as the fifth year rolls off, and we have a new fifth year this year, we add a fifth year to the CIP, which is indicated in the 2017-18 budget. So each year that the year falls off, you'll add another year to the five-year CIP. So we always have a five-year rolling forecast.
I want to ask my question a different way, then, so I'm not getting the answer that I want. So let's say we can go for some financing on something, and part of our solvency and part of the way we appear to our whoever we're going to, whether it be a bond or a loan, is going to be how much do we have in reserves. Would this money be considered reserves in that instance, or would it be considered not reserves? In other words, are we going to put $3 million into a fund that we can't show as a benefit to our bottom line?
No, because it's all in your reserves.
Okay.
It is a reserve account. It's how we allocate.
That's fine.
It
That's
internally.
Good enough. I just want to make sure it's there so it,
you
so
can,
it helps.
The board at any time can say, we want to move these infrastructure reserve funds from this and do that instead.
Okay.
You have that authority.
Okay.
That is the water, wastewater, town, operating budget, CIP for 2013, 14, 14, 15, and then the CIP for the next 5 years. As you know, each year as we move forward, we'll come back to you with a new budget document. Moving on to parks and landscape, we're going to hand out some updated numbers for you for zones 8 and zones 9. You have already seen the county zones that came to you back in, I want to say, February. And they've already been adopted and approved by the county. While they're not in this document now, they will be in the final version of the document when it gets published. So you will see zones 35, 57, and 61 at that time. I'm going to go ahead before I turn it over to Farron, and I think we should probably go to zone 9 first and then come back and spend the time on zone 8. But before we go there, the board has, and I would recommend that the board has the ability to adopt the budget on the 19th of June, and you also have the ability to come back at any time you want and revise it, edit it, and amend it, and talk about it. And so moving forward with respect to the Zone 8 budget in the community center, because there's a lot to grapple with on that one, that we adopt the budget, depending on your decisions that are made, that I'm going to suspect you're going to want more information. And so I would probably suggest that when the time comes, we adopt the Zone 8 budget, knowing that we're going to be coming back and amending it early in the fiscal year. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Farron, and she can talk about Zone 9, and then we'll go ahead and move into Zone 8. Zone 9 just going to be real quick, so.
I'm not going to go through all of the items on here. If there's specific questions, something that I don't point out, please feel free to ask. For Zone 9 on the operating budget, we're looking at ending the year $19,000 under budget overall. Significant portions of that savings is from staff payroll. We just didn't spend the time there this year that we would have anticipated. A lot of that due to extra time in Zone 8 with the community center. Some of the items on here, I guess some of the other, I'll point out some of the items that we went over on our consultants. We're a little over this year. This is because we're now, Dina's doing a good job of tracking the actual expenses that, like our audit expenses that weren't coming out of Zone 9 before. So now we're planning for that moving forward. Our engineering assessment through PERWA is included in there. Most of the other items are if over budget, are pretty minimal here. Are there any questions on the first page that you... Like Rick said, it is tracking pretty well.
And we don't have a lot of flexibility on Zone 9, that's Ravenswood.
So for the capital items on the back, there's only two. One is the parking lot seal and striping, which is actually, we're doing all of the parks at once. We're going to do a complete bid. The counties have that in their budgets as well this year, our pathway behind Safeway. We're going to do that so we can try to get a better price for all of them. So that line item's in for every park that has a parking lot.
So for Zone 9, it's Life Park?
Regatta, Slifer, okay. Ravenswood, they're all due.
Zone 9, though, is only Ravenswood Park.
Okay. So this one's only Ravenswood, but each where, other budget has a dollar amount for it. Where the splash pad is.
Okay.
And then a tree replacements item for the park. There's a number of trees there that just are not doing well. Wrong species, wrong place. Just it'd be good to do some replacements and some additions. So I budget that as well. That's it for this one. Unless you. I just want to say we would do pretty good with the addition of the splash pad as far as maintaining it within the boundaries of the assessment there.
They supported that pretty well. We had some issues with some breakage and some failings and stuff, but they supported that on the warranty pretty well.
They did. Yeah. Because
it never came back.
Yeah. We paid it and then they reimbursed us.
Cool.
For it. Yeah.
Hey, as we move on to Zone 8 at this point in time, what we have included in this budget is it does include the renovation of the building. It does include the expense. It does include a revenue stream to a source of revenue to pay for that. And so, I just wanted to know that that's included in there moving forward. Certainly, the board's discretion as to what they would like to do with that.
Okay, so moving on to zone 8, most significantly under operating and maintenance budgets, right off the top, we're expected to be $52,000 over budget in staff and payroll. $21,000 of that so far with my staff is to the community center, and then $17,000 of that was to the Clipper Drive project. We had discussed the overages on Clipper Drive before. The project cost came in on fairly close to budget. I think it was $110 over the $75,000 that we projected. That did not include our payroll costs. So we identified what those were, and that was the overage for the project. So the project was $17,000 over.
If I can stop, how did we go over on the athletic club when we budgeted all that money? Rick gave us a forecast going in for the community center.
There were a huge number of problems associated with irrigation, safety issues within trees and landscape. I mean, just when we got into the building, there was much more that we were required to do to keep that going.
But the building itself, we didn't spend that much.
No,
I'm not talking about the building.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the budget we gave was started at $180,000. It moved itself up to two something. Well, then there's another 30 something thousand for the pool, and now another 30 something. I mean, the board, none of this was ever brought to the board. We're so far over budget in the athletic center, club, the community center, and this should have been brought to the board.
One of the things with the $21,000 that I'm talking about here with the community center is about $10,000 of that is just my cost. A lot of that was way before we made the purchase when we were looking at budgets, identifying the building. I mean, there was a significant amount of my time that I got charged to Zone 8 because of the community center even before that purchase. So my time, the $21,000, we're looking at $10,000, you know, $11,000 for my guys over there over the last, you know, since February, and the $10,000 of my time specifically.
Fair enough, I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is the fact that we knew this. We knew you were over there. Staff knew you were over there. We have members of your staff who were hired to do other jobs. We've always been short-staffed. We said we need this guy because he does this job. Obviously, they were taking off that job so they could work at the athletic center. And none of this was given to the board. And I asked this, I've asked this question over and over again. What are we spending over there? We've never had an accounting for what's been spent on that building, ever. And to this day.
Well, let's be specific, not on the building, on the project.
On the project, I'll word it that way. We've never had an accounting for this. I've asked for it over and over and over again, never got it.
Director Simon, I drafted a very, very lengthy, detailed report that I presented to the board at your request, and I never heard one comment back from any board member on it. It took me about 3 days to prepare. I never got any feedback on it at all.
That was pretty comprehensive.
With respect to your concerns, they are, well, we talked about this yesterday, if you recall, and I indicated that we are accounting for all those costs, and I told you that we were accounting at the time for all those costs, and I told you that you would be seeing those tonight.
We should have seen this when it was budgeted. This is obviously budgeted wrong. That's what I complained about before. It was budgeted wrong. I mean, if you know that you're going to spend hours in there, and I don't want to make this a lengthy discussion, you know when you go in this space, you give a bid to build a building, you don't come back $100,000 higher and say, wow, I missed that. We didn't know.
Consultants under professional services. Again, we're now paying for a portion of the audit, which just was not captured in years previously. Utilities, we're looking at going over about $7,000 over in water costs. It's one of the things, just kind of point out, when I guess we were talking about irrigation management tomorrow night. are the one item under 2282, grounds maintenance or landscape maintenance fees. Again, this is pending. All of our bids came in under this, or not all of our bids, I'm sorry, but what's that we'll be presenting tomorrow night for review are under the 105, so potentially we'll be saving about 10,000 there as well. That will be revised after your decision tomorrow. Moving down, there's not a lot that, again, trying to see here. Not a lot of costs that were significantly over. The community center budget shows at the bottom. We're anticipating ending the year about 75,000 in the operations. We have budgeted 100. The capital improvements, 85,000, and we've budgeted 99. Next year, moving forward, you're looking at the operating budget of 192,450. And I'm not going to get into this in real depth because once we get through Zone 8, there's a community center budget that's been prepared to look at that in more detail. And the capital improvement projects for next year out of Zone 8, I have a pickleball court conversion for Court 4 and swimming pool upgrades included in that 97,000. The swimming pool upgrades are a rollover from this year. Any questions on those items?
What's the conversion again?
The pickleball court conversion is something that we've
is that Cornell Park?
This is, yes. So with Cornell, so the project has kind of gone through several hiccups from day one. We have, you guys have budgeted $120,000 to do work there. We started with design, and then when the community center purchase kind of went through, we realized we kind of backed out and said, we're not going to have, you know, this much money to do this kind of project moving forward. So talking to the pickleball team, you know, club, we had kind of come up with and the community center committee, we've come up with an idea of doing a conversion of one of the courts there. After the purchase of the community center, we also toyed around the idea of doing a conversion at the community center, which we also discussed with the community center committee. Right now, the recommendation, my staff recommendation is not to, well, there's several items of why we are looking at moving the conversion to the community center versus Cornell Park. One, Cornell Park is going to require a development plan modification because we're going to have to push the fencing. The courts there, existing courts, are not full 60 by 120 courts, they're 118 by 54. To do a pickleball conversion with the four courts, you would need 120 by 60. So we wouldn't have a full tennis court, or we wouldn't have enough room for pickleball, so we have to extend.
The pickleball people came in and talked to us, they said they could fit two courts into one court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I thought we weren't gonna have this discussion tonight, but now that we're into it, if their courts fit inside of a tennis court.
It's not a true tennis court there.
What's
it's
that?
True, the Cornell Park sizes are not true. So after measuring and looking at the courts, the Cornell courts actually have an overlapping boundary in the middle. So you do not have two 120 by 60 courts. You have
Actually talking playing surface or excess?
The surface. So the sidelines that you would typically see on a tennis court of 12 feet on each side are actually shared on those courts at Cornell.
I asked for an overlay so I can see how this goes. Do we have it?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't think we were going to have a discussion.
We didn't either. We weren't planning on having it. We had discussed it after our conversation this morning and with the board members yesterday to move forward with the Cornell Park conversion.
I have it in the budget for the community center because after looking at the options,
the board made a decision to put it in Cornell Park. So why would you put it in a place that the board has decided not to do?
We don't have room.
This
is a part of a discussion for the budget because one, it's going to cost us a lot more money. We're going to have to do a development plan modification.
Okay, hold on a second. The pickleball group has been playing at Cornell Park, am I correct?
Yes.
The pickleball group came into this board and asked for Cornell Park. We're paying for this. We agreed to give them Cornell Park. And that's where it goes in Cornell Park, exactly the way it is.
I don't understand why we're changing anything here. The board talked about this, we voted on this, we gave you the go-ahead to go ahead and do this.
Yeah. We're gonna move forward with Cornell Park, that is the board.
But hold on a minute, what budget?
It's still Zone 8.
I understand that, but there was a budget for doing this court. What was the budget?
The new courts is $120,000.
What did we vote on?
I'm out. Let me clarify this, because although everything you state is true, let me clarify as to what the board was saying when they said that. It wasn't that we didn't want to spend the $120,000 that we agreed upon. What we said was, now that we have 10 courts in the town, we don't need to build another court. Mm-hmm. We can just convert a court. Mm-hmm. So that saves the town $120,000, as opposed to we don't want to spend the $120,000, because we originally had said, okay, you know, we were going to do it, but we don't need to now, because that was going to take one of two courts. Mm-hmm. If we didn't spend the $120,000, so we were going to lose 50% of our tennis courts in town. Once we acquired the community center, we added 8 courts to the scenario, so now we have 10 courts. So it doesn't make sense to spend $120,000 to build another court when you can convert a court, and that they've been playing on it there. Which one of you guys ran the thing at the Earth Day? That was you, right? I came up to you and talked to you with my wife, remember?
Yes, you did.
And you said, hey, we want to be at Cornell Park. That's what we want to do.
Yes.
And that was the last I heard about anything about that.
I think what I heard was at Cornell, we have 2 tennis courts. And if we're trying to make 4 pickleball courts, you can't fit it in. Well, I'm sorry, if we can only fit 2 in,
that's what
then
that's what we agreed
we
to.
Get 2 in.
That's right.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about making 4 out of it.
Start with 2 and see how it goes.
I think that's
2 is what we're talking about.
I'm sorry, sir, can I have a
comment?
I'm okay. You're okay with 2 pickleball courts? Then I just think it's a miscommunication. I don't have
length to do 2 there. I mean, so
they're going
to
be much shorter, but that's what we're going. We will accommodate that request.
So what you're saying is the amount of space at the end of the court is going to be shorter than they would prefer to have. Is that?
They're not make them shorter.
Huh?
Ridiculous.
The courts there. I'd have to push the fencing out to give them 2 back-to-back courts in order to push the fencing out. I'm not going to have the setback requirements from the county. This is the point that I'm trying to make, is that I can't push.
How have they been playing? How
have
you guys been playing
now?
There for the last year if it doesn't work?
They have 1 court.
One court.
1 court.
1 line, no fencing.
Right. Well, we're using the tennis court.
Right. So if
we
you
don't
take
have a pickleball court.
So if you take the there's 2 tennis courts over there, and you're using 1 right because it's been restriped.
Correct.
The fence isn't there. It's been restriped.
Both of them.
So. If you go to the second court, then you have 2 courts,
right?
And it's restriped,
right?
And it's working okay.
Right now, both are restriped. Turn it around. We want to turn it around to have 2 pickleball courts.
I'm with
around facing east west.
Right.
No.
What's the length of a pickleball court?
Yeah.
What's the total length of the pickleball court from 4 line to 4 line?
44. Right, Steve, do you measure them out?
Yeah, 44 feet.
44 feet. And we have 58?
Right.
That leaves?
There's 108 feet there.
No, width.
No.
Other
width-wise,
tennis court.
We have
58.
Sorry,
50 you said it's 58 feet down there. It's 2 feet short?
60.
Width between the 2 courts is 108. So each court is,
54.
Yeah. And you guys need 44, that leaves you 5 feet at the end of each court, and you only, and that's not enough?
If you go east-west, you're talking about, but you can't play into the sun. No courts go east-west.
Yeah.
Hmm? Basketball, and no courts go east-west.
Oh, okay.
The proposals,
yeah.
Proposals to take 1 tennis court, put 2 pickleball courts end-to-end.
Oh.
Not across,
okay.
Not width, it's the length.
Like
and is there enough length?
That's what Ferris
said. There's 118 feet. There's not enough length. And I can't push out towards the fences of the residences behind it because there are setback requirements that I'm going to face with the county.
So then I'm curious why we were brought an option to have it at Cornell Park if you're now sitting in front of us and telling us it's impossible
because
to do.
Because at first it was, we didn't because at the time of saying that we were going to convert, that we hadn't, it was just talking about pulling budgets together and do conversion. When we went out to do, we weren't ever going to convert at Cornell Park. We were going to install new.
I got you.
And then when we went into, I started talking to the county, looking at the setback requirements, talking to the planning department, and that's a whole, it's come into this issue.
If you recall, the original plan was to build a brand new court. Had we gone ahead and with that process, what the board told us to do, we would have a brand new court out there today. Brand new constructed court. Okay?
Built to the dimension of a tennis court so it can be converted back if, in fact, you guys all left town and we no longer wanted to play pickleball. Okay.
Then the community center purchase came up because remember, the pickleball started way before the board authorized the purchase of the site next door. And there were 8 courts there. And at that point in time, I don't know if Bob Lyman was the president of the group then or if he is anymore or what his role is, but Bob contacted Farron and said, hey, correct me if I'm wrong, Farron, I don't want to speak out of school, is that we don't want you to spend all that money. We believe, we can go ahead and get 2 courts over at Cornell. So we came to you at the board planning workshop in February, and we talked about it at that time. And that was when the board said, we like the idea of Cornell Park. That was, they had never come to us with any, at that point, it wasn't until we started looking into the actual, the lengths and the widths of the courts as to whether or not it would fit at Cornell. We can fit them at Cornell, but they're going to be, the courts will be the,
a little tighter.
The courts will be the same size, but the back areas will be much tighter.
Correct.
Even under the recommendations,
chase the ball.
The recommended pickleball court size is actually, it's supposed to be 100 and, wow. To do a conversion to the recommended size, you need 130 by 70 to fit the full size pickleball courts for. Our courts are 20 by 60. That's like the minimum amount that they say that you should have for the conversion. We're less than that at Cornell, both ways. And so,
what's the length and width of a court at Cornell?
So who are they?
There's associations for pickleball.
Okay.
What's the length of the court at Cornell?
It's 118
by
54. That was installed short to begin with.
Yes.
That's the problem. It should have been 120 by 60.
None of that was brought
to the
board.
The court should have been originally 120 by 60, but they built it at 118 by 54.
Right.
What's the court size at community center?
120. Just a shy of 120 by 60. So we have a full size court there.
We have a basketball court there too.
Here's this, instead of having 6 feet at the end of your court, like is in this drawing right here.
Right.
You have 5 feet.
Correct.
You have 1 foot less.
Correct.
At the end of your court.
Correct.
Well.
And if you're only playing, if you're, well, 180.
It's 10 feet's recommended length, and we would have 8 at Cornell, 8 at the community center, and like 7.5 at Cornell.
Well, just a little bit of 7.5, you think?
Well, I mean, over for 6 inches, really?
Well,
7 or 7.5, something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not comfortable spending $120,000.
Well, no, we're not going to do that. That's not even on the board. That's not even a discussion.
No, we're not doing that.
It's a matter of conversion. It's just where the conversion is going to occur.
Right.
It needs to be at Cornell.
And that's what the board said. And so I guess,
you're a little short,
I guess rather than have this discussion.
You're a little short.
You're right.
All right. So pickleball group agrees that the size of the court is regulation. And they don't have quite enough to go back if it bounced up a little bit.
True.
But, hey,
true.
It is what it is, and we've accommodated the best we can. It's done. You're happy, we're happy.
And if it takes off, then we figure out the next one, right? Either or whatever, you know?
Well, that's if both courts are being used simultaneously. Because it then only affects one end if they're not being used simultaneously.
They'll be fencing
between the two courts.
Right. Yes.
Oh, is there?
Yes.
We're going to put that in?
That's.
Yes.
Okay. And what was the budget we agreed to for this?
For the conversion? I don't have that.
I don't think we agreed to it yet.
Yeah, it wasn't. We were looking into that. Like, you guys had agreed to it before the conversion, and I was supposed to come back. And,
okay.
Okay.
We just don't want to mix up ourselves up with the tennis people. We're afraid if we get thrown over here to Discovery Bay, we're going to have just a big
friction. Tennis people don't go on to get mixed up with you.
Exactly.
Trust me.
That's right.
So that's why I think it's better if you guys are okay with it. Because I've heard from the tennis people. My phone at home has been ringing off the hook. People are threatened to quit. So let's just take that out of the equation. If we can get you guys to work with two committed courts at Cornell that are
close to
full size, regulation size, but the surrounding area may not be up to what your organization says. But I still don't think that that's going to stop people from coming out playing in tournaments.
I agree.
All right. Well, let's just move forward with what we are with. Okay.
So then the board will look forward to seeing a budget for what it's going to take.
It's probably going to be the same because the conversion, when we were talking about converting at Cornell, originally we were talking about having to expand, so that was going to add more money. But if we're doing the same type of conversion that we would have done at the community center without having to expand out, then we're still looking around
32,500. Okay. Let me ask you this, Darren.
I'm sure it might be a little under because fencing will be less.
Just for the sake of conversation.
Sure.
So I'm familiar with the tennis courts down there. Oh, wait a minute. There are houses on both sides of it, huh?
Yes.
Because there's a walkway and then a house.
Yes.
And on the other side is just flowers and a house, or landscaping and a house.
Yes.
So either way, either you reduce the width of the walkway.
Yes.
To expand the fence out.
Yes. But I can't, but it's really narrow in there. So
worth the expense of moving a foot, a fence 2 feet to make it regulation.
True.
At this point, at least that's how I feel as a board member.
If I can suggest, let's look into that. We'll come back to you.
Exactly. Okay,
we'll let you make that final decision.
But,
so for the next draft, though, I can move that into the capital items for Cornell from the...
Yeah, Cornell only.
That would be the recommendation, as I see it. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Moving on to the back, capital items. Everything you see in highlighted yellow under our first budget.
We've got another hour and a half of this stuff, guys.
We've been waiting a long time.
Thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
I know that Farron wants to get it done, and I'm sure we all want to get it done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We all want it off our plates. Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Sorry, Fern.
No, it's okay. Everything that you see under the approved budget column for 2012-13 in highlighted bright yellow are amendments that occurred during the year. So the community center acquisition is 610. We're not going to see a reimbursement for the WW until next year, so that you see a negative amount. That's a reimbursed amount of $400,000 for the WW grants on line one.
Where
are you?
On the capital budget, on
page
the back.
Page 2 of 2?
It's on,
you know, you went to
that. Bill, it's on this page. It's the one we just handed out.
Yeah.
And it has handwriting on the right-hand side.
Yeah, there's 400,000 coming
grant applications
next year.
In?
Yeah.
Oh. Been approved.
They need some signed documents, but it's not, they needed additional information.
In principle, they don't have any issues with it.
No,
as far as we know.
We pre-approved it kind of with them before.
Thank you.
So,
but there's always
there could be a hiccup. Understood. We voted on it based on that coming through, but we knew that it hadn't been granted.
So moving down to the Cornell Park improvements, we will add the pickleball courts here for the next go round. The solar lighting project will have about 27,000 that will roll over into next year. It's not an overage, it's just rolling over. And the parking lot seal and striping, 14,500 for the parking lot at Cornell.
Well, Farron, you're showing under Cornell Pickleball, you're showing 106,000 in the budget.
That was balance. What was approved last year.
Okay, so that is actually going to change if it's going to be 32,000.
Yes.
So we need to show
32,500. Yeah.
So we need to show the total change before we approve this.
Yes.
And that'll come back to you when the budget is finally adopted on June 19th. All these changes will be edited.
I'm a year-end estimate. What does that mean? Are those actuals?
They're they're going to be pretty close, yeah.
So what do we spend $13,000 on the pickleball? If we have
design and a portion of its design costs.
And are those going to still be used?
They're done. We had the design done. We were
for the new court.
Yeah.
So that's.
We can keep them for the future if we ever decide to put in a new court. We have plans.
So the actual cost of pickleball courts are $45,000.
Yeah, so some of the, those costs are gone.
So it's all engineered for the.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got a little cart in front of the horse.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, no, not really, because if you recall, this was approved prior to the community center, and the board had authorized the budget to design and build the Cornell Park. And so it wasn't until
before it was even on the market, really.
It wasn't until afterwards.
2011 that we approved this.
It wasn't until afterwards. And we were moving forward, so we were moving forward board direction with the design. We were ready to go to bed,
yeah.
And then we pulled it back.
One way to look at it is we're not making good use of that $13,000. The other way is to look at it is we're saving $107,000.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or minus 35.
Save 70.
We'll just store them away somewhere for the future. Under streetscape items, we're rolling over the Highway 4 East project into next year. We had talked about the Caltrans agreement, I think a couple meetings ago. The island levee irrigation plantings, those are just the small miscellaneous areas that we see around town that need some upgrades or new plantings. 17.5, we had put that in for last year. We did not spend it, and that's almost exactly the number we went over on Clipper. So we had talked to the landscape committee earlier in the year when we realized we were going over on Clipper, and the direction was not to do any of those projects at that time. Newport Lane landscaping is an area along Newport as you're heading out of Zone 8 towards Zone 61, which is towards Slifer Park. It is a unlandscaped area that has been unlandscaped for ever. We get a number of complaints from the residents over there annually,
that's a wetland, little wetlands area.
It's a strip of outside of it. It's a streetscape frontage that
on Newport.
Yes,
on Newport Lane,
past Shell, past all the way down the end.
So it's not Newport Drive.
Oh, towards the big lot at the end.
Cool. Yeah.
Towards the big lot, nobody goes down.
Yeah.
Yes, the last
so
street.
So neighborhood. Well, you've got about 14, 16 homes in there.
Yeah.
What was that?
But it is our property. It is one of our streets, and so we were going to do some minimal landscaping in there, just adding irrigation and trees and ground cover, just like.
So that's
you see
to the
Newport
south
Lane.
Side of the wetland.
Okay.
And to say that we've gotten complaints is.
No.
And we've got a lot of complaints.
If it's our land and it's over and it needs to be maintained, then we need to maintain it. That's part of our responsibility.
It's one of the few unlandscaped areas that we own that's not landscaped.
That is falls under our latent power. We need to do it.
Plug ice plant all along there.
Let us move on.
Miscellaneous tools or equipment. We put there's $5,500 in there. It's more of a save. It's more of a placeholder at this point. There's with the projects we have coming up next year, we have existing equipment, but I'm just not sure what we may need or not, just with everything that's coming up. So it's just a placeholder. Nothing specific that I'm asking for at this time. Are there any questions on the capital items or the operations costs?
How would you quantify the amount of work that wasn't completed at Clipper?
Wasn't completed?
Because of the budget, because it was starting to go over budget. I mean, did you guys just even stop like in the middle of the project, or it's just what? How would you quantify or explain that?
We didn't stop any. We finished what we had set out to do, which was to install shrubs and trees and repair the irrigation along that section in there.
Well, if you could do more, what else more would you do then? If you would have had another $20,000, you would have done more there than what you did?
I might have sized up on things so that they grew in faster
okay.
or made
right.
more of an impact.
But they're going to get there.
They're growing.
I'm not a plant guy, so I don't understand these things. That's why I'm asking.
One of the biggest problems we had at Clipper, as we've indicated before, was the infrastructure was just
so
old.
Yeah, I remember that.
The valves all need to be replaced. Right. Some of those things you don't know until you dig them up.
Okay, thank you.
So that's it on Zone 9.
Zone 8,
thank you. There's a handout here that says proposed in its community center.
What am I asking you about?
He's sitting on your desk underneath your agenda.
If you recall, on the agenda cover report, I indicated that we were continuing to work on the landscape budgets and that they'd be handed out tonight. So that's there's still a work in progress. At the community center committee meeting last week and previously on May the 7th, community center committee voted, as you are aware, to provide a renovation of the existing building. And so I work with the architect that we've been utilizing, Mark Lee, and identified an estimate. And that estimate was also presented to the full board and the committee at the joint board committee meeting we had, I believe it was in April. So this budget, as I indicated, does have a cost estimate of the $552,000 to reconstruct that building. It's a complete building renovation. It does not move any of the exterior walls. It does move the interior walls around. It provides space to provide for Farron and her staff. It provides a boardroom space, a rental space there, as well as classroom spaces for arts and crafts and that sort of thing. The breakdown, as you can see at the very bottom of the page, is the facility renovation of about $400,000. PS&E is plans of exit engineering. That's the design of about $60,000, permits and all that sort of thing. FF&E is the furniture, fixtures, and equipment, and then with the $50,000 contingency. So that's what brings it up to the 552. From a revenue source, a revenue standpoint, just above that, you see revenues/fund sources. We have about $118,000 in park dedication fees as a result of the building that's taking place currently in Discovery Bay West. That assumes that Kuiper sells their 88 allotted lots that they've got. They're already into the 40s and they don't have any standing inventory. When I was up there last week, everything they had was either under contract or already closed escrow. There is approximately $60,000 to $65,000 remaining in the WW grant funds. As the building will contain a space for a boardroom, we can utilize funds from the water wastewater fund that would be appropriate for that room. And that leaves a balance of $258,000.
And you're gonna sell a bridge?
Bridge funding, to bridge the gap, if you will. And that can be any number of, it can be a couple of different uses, sources. You can use the community center fund that we already have in place, the building fund we already have in place. It has just over 400, I mean, literally 450,000 and I think $33 in that fund. And then we also, I discussed with our legal department about the possibility that the district can go through the process of a loan to the community center and can loan at a traditional title loan, goes before the board, there's interest to be paid, there's a term to pay it back, and so that is also another option. And that's one of those things I was discussing earlier in the evening, that this is going to take more time if the board decides that that's the direction that they are interested in pursuing, as to how to bridge that extra $258,000. The budget itself is pretty straightforward with respect to the maintenance of the facility. You can see going through the operating maintenance budget, there's really nothing that jumps out at you that's not, that we would not be paying if we were operating a facility there to begin with. Even if we were to shut the building down, for example, we'd still have to pay the water bill, we'd have to mow the lawn, we'd have to service the pool, we'd have to clean the tennis courts, that sort of thing. So there are going to be costs involved that will be ongoing. And so this would be the proposed budget moving forward for the next fiscal year. So I'm assuming that you gentlemen are going to have some questions relative to this.
We're going to change. We're going to go back to the chair now with this, because the free for all is going to be over, because I'm sure this is going to be a heated discussion. I know you have something to say to the book.
It shouldn't be heated. I have a question that I've seen operating of 192,450, right? So that's your proposed operating annual operating budget?
That is net of the capital 552. Yes, sir.
Operating, okay. But you're not bringing us any revenue sources for that.
You are correct.
Okay.
And
make sure
this is an remember, this is an expenditure budget. I wanted to show the revenues for the building, but we were discussing this, the revenue side of this, literally at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And we're going to be bringing those back to you. On the revenue side, there's a course, if there's an expenditure, for example, for the instructors and the teachers that are teaching classes, there's going to be a corresponding revenue for that.
Is that part of the 23,000? Temporary employees? When you say they can...
No, that would be like...
Okay, so that program's not in here yet. That program's not included yet.
The revenues are not there yet.
So that means, because the programs are part of the revenue and the programs aren't included yet.
Well,
what's the $64,000 salary for?
That is for the new person, the recreation coordinator position that we discussed at the committee meeting.
I understood.
As well as, and that's 10 months of a position, as well as a part of the new position for the parks and landscape worker.
Okay. We're looking at a building. I mean, I've been against this from the start, and I'm still against it. We don't have a clue what we're spending on a half-open building right now. We've never had any accounting, the athletic club or the community center, whichever you prefer to call it at this point. We started a budget in February to run through June, to see what we're going to spend, decide what to do with it, and I haven't got a clue. The only budget we got has been off by so much money. The pool, the building, everything has been off. We don't have a clue what it's going to take to run this place. We're going to take money we don't really have. We're going to clean ourselves out of cash to build a building we don't know how we're going to run. How many classes are being taught right now in our athletic center, in our club? Where's the revenue stream?
Well, the Delta Valley Athletic Club, when they came into town, really changed the
thing. How about last month? Rick, they haven't opened yet. And these are questions I've been asking for months.
Mark, what's been happening is they've been going ahead and joining Delta Valley and leaving and going over there, knowing that they're going to be able to come back here when they open. So when that was announced, it dropped off significantly.
But this isn't the question I'm asking. We were told in December that there was 95 members of this club, that we had a $17,000. I saw the paper, you showed it to me. We took in $17,000 a month, and I said, baloney, there's no way we took that in. Between the end of December on the 31st and the end of January, we went down to taking in $7,000, and we had about 35 or 40 members. So all this happened in 1 month. There's been no accounting for this building. We're looking at spending the town's money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we cannot tell one single person what we've spent in that place. We don't know what it brings in, what we're spending, what it generates. We don't know what classes are being taught there, and you're asking us to give you $550,000 to put a new building up.
Just for clarification, we took ownership in February, so it started in
February. We opened it up in February.
Yeah, but we didn't start charging until March.
Okay,
so,
but we only took in $7,000 in March. 7,300, I think, is what we took in. We only have 40 members of the 95 that they claimed, or 200 they claim we had. Madison sat here and said, there's 200 members. I said, no, there's not. My point is, we have accountability.
when people come to us and say, what have you spent of our money? We can't tell them. We don't even know the revenues. I don't have a clue where that thing's taken in. I don't know what classes are being taught there, who's getting paid. I haven't seen any of it. And I can't, in good conscience, even consider 550 grand to build a building. We don't know how we're going to run it. We're supposed to be a business. We're a town.
So let me ask you this, then. Why did we buy it if we're not going to do anything with it?
Our intention was to buy the land, and when we could afford it, we were talking about a bond measure to get to, because we figured we couldn't service it.
I don't remember. This board never talked about a bond measure.
We talked about it quite a bit.
This board did?
We talked about a bond measure.
Not a ballot measure.
An assessment.
An assessment. And we to run the thing. And we figured at one point we'd buy the land, and when we could afford to build a building, we put the building up. Then we got the building, we said, okay, what would it cost to keep it open as an athletic club? We got an estimate of 183 grand. Well, we're 100 grand past that. Then we were told that we had 200 members. We had 40.
Well, that's irrelevant.
It's not.
It is totally irrelevant.
Well, not to me, because that's what I based
my opinion on. No, because we don't have an athletic club. We didn't want an athletic club, and we knew when we talked to whoever was on the board at the time that come July 1st, there was going to be no athletic. You and I had that conversation.
Well, I didn't want the athletic. I voted against it from the start.
We knew that it was going to have to go away. We just didn't know how it was going to go away.
To me, my feeling was when we opened this up, we wanted to acquire the land. We figured the worst case scenario, the land, if we never built it.
So is your suggestion to board the place up?
It's my suggestion that we decide whether we can afford to run it. We don't know
what we're paying. That's what we're doing.
Well, but we don't have, somebody needs to give me something that shows me hard numbers.
We know.
Show me real numbers. I don't even know what we spent on the place.
Okay, but what has been there is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is what is going to be there.
But you need to know how you're going to keep it open.
Well, that's what these numbers are telling you.
These numbers don't tell me anything. They don't tell me anything.
They tell you that it costs $192,000 to keep it open. That's what they tell you.
Maybe. Show it to me.
How can you show it? It's in the future.
Show me where the $192,000 is going to cost. What do you base that on?
All right. 64th. You want me to? Do we have to go?
I read.
Okay.
What I'm telling you is, you have one building. We got numbers of what it cost to run that one. Was it close? No.
Okay, so it's going to always be wrong. So let's just board the place. I mean, you're not giving an option here, Mark.
My option is, I want to know what this thing's taking.
That's what this is. I mean, it's an estimate. That's all you can have.
So is the other one.
But the other one was based on the fact that you knew it was going to lose money when you voted for it.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. We asked you. We told you it was going to lose $8,000 a month. $10,000 a month.
We were told what the revenue was
through June 30th. That's all we said. Through June 30th, it was going to lose money.
You guys vote the way you want. I'll vote the way, and when it comes down to the end, we'll see what happens. I don't care.
Well, wait a minute.
We have no. This is not how you run any kind of business.
If I may,
but you have to deal with.
If you recall at the beginning of the evening, I mentioned that we can continue to adopt the budget, but you can come back and you can add it, you can delete it, you can do whatever you want. And I indicated then that this discussion is going to take some time. I'm not expecting you to make a decision tonight or tomorrow night or on June the 19th, because you need more information. We recognize that. And so what we're saying is, I mean, it was my recommendation to the Community Center Committee, and that report was attached to the electronic version of the packet tonight. And it was my recommendation that based upon what's happened with Delta Valley moving in and the number of members that have dropped off because of that. If you recall, they were standing room only in this room wanting us to keep it open. They're banging down the doors, wanting to keep it open. And then the first opportunity, they're no longer here supporting us while we were there to support them.
But they were gone before Delta Valley ever showed up here, Rick.
So
there was nobody here in March.
Okay. What does that have to do with this budget?
But if I can finish.
It has zero.
To me, it has everything to do with it.
It's zero to do with it. That was a temporary approval to keep the athletic club open for 90 days, period. Nothing to do with this budget. That was to keep the athletic club open for 90 days until the end of the fiscal year, and we had a new budget to talk about. Now you want to say, I don't want to talk about the new budget because in 90 days we're over budget.
What my recommendation to
it
the
still needs to be discussed.
What my recommendation to the committee was, and it was a recommendation to the board that needs to have further discussion and further dialogue on, was to close the building on June the 30th. Open the gates, let the tennis players play, let the pool open, let the people swim, If they want to reserve tennis courts for tournaments, they can do so. If they want to reserve a family picnic or a barbecue, they can go ahead and do that, just like they do any of our other parks. Gates would open in the morning, and they would early in the morning, they would be locked at night, just like many parks do. And so during that time, when it would be closed down, it was discussed that would be the time that we would go through the design review process, if the board chose to do so, and then get it out to bid and do construction and open up in the early spring of next year with a modest, yet the ability to grow a much stronger program. We've had interest from a few people that work in the business and are actually interested in getting in on the ground floor of this and building a successful program. We've had, I don't know if it went to the whole board. Go to that, Baron, but just you and me. That you know last week, just you and me. But there's interest. People are interested in the program and it's going to take place there. It requires more dialogue, I understand that. So what I'm really asking you to do is, let's look at what it is, we'll get into the details, we'll get into the numbers, we'll get everything you need, we have them, we have the numbers, we know what everything is. Everything gets attached to the community center. If it gets charged there, it gets identified as going there. So it's in our system.
Let me clarify my statements, because I made several statements. First of all, I'm not disagreeing with you. It may not work, but I want to at least talk about whether it's going to work or not. And I want to, and I wasn't here for the first 15 years of Let's Have a Community Center. But there was always this talk about we got to have a community, we got to get this thing permitted, we got to do this thing. And part of the task that was brought on to the board when I was on the board was, let's get something going with the community center. We talked about 15-20. We talked about, you know, all these different options for a community center. So my thought was that the board wanted to move forward with a community center. A community center, so, and the building is part of that community center. So if we're going to have a community center with programs, we have to have them somewhere. If we're not, then let's just decide we're not. And I'm not putting, please don't think I'm putting my foot down and saying, I want this and boom, 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 and you don't make any sense. I'm not saying that at all, Mark. I'm saying I really want to have a constructive conversation with an open mind that the community wants a community center, and what can we do to provide that for them?
They do, and I agree with you. I'm not trying to be. I think my issue is the person who gave us the budget that we're living by so far, even though it's a building we're going to close, we based our decisions on a budget we got, is the same person giving me a budget, and if you miss this budget, I don't believe we can operate this building for the budget we've got. Okay. That's my point.
Okay, and you're allowed, and that's a reasonable assumption for you to make. I don't make those same kind of assumptions, but I understand that you do.
I do,
and that's fine.
And I do based
because
on
the problem is that this is the person that we have to count on to give us our budget. So if I was to have that attitude, then I might as well just not vote on any budgets because
if it turns out that you can't run it for 190 grand a year, and you're not going to run that building for 190 grand a year, if it turns out you can't, then you've got an operating loss again on a brand new building, and then you got to go, okay, well, let's scramble. What do we do with it now?
But
you are not going to operate that building for 190 grand a year.
I'd
like to see your numbers then. You show me your numbers that says we can't do
just
it.
Just employees.
You don't have it.
You're going to have it. You got one employee in there. It takes more than one employee to be in there. You're going to have maintenance crews. You're going to have a couple of full-time employees in there. You're going to have issues with the building. You're going to have vendors. You're going to have all kinds of stuff that comes up in that building.
If I may, going back to the initial estimates, Mark, you're right. We, you know, this was all brand new to us. It's not something that we had any historical data that we could rely upon. We went on the best information that we had. Did it turn out to be wrong? Yeah, it turned out to be wrong. Does that happen? It happens. If you look at where we stand with the rest of our budgets, we're pretty much right on. I mean, we pretty much nail them. We worked really hard and spent a lot of time on trying to drill them down. Are we happy about it? Absolutely not. But at the end of the day, it was a whole new program to us, and we're and we're trying to put something together, and we're doing, you know, we're trying to do it in a manner that is, that at least makes sense, that we try and capture all the different costs and identify where they are. And, you know, on the parking lot repair, we nailed it. We nailed it to the dollar, okay?
Because we do that work. But we also had no historic data. They what they released to us was not accurate information. We didn't have any. But and I really don't even want to have that. I mean, you guys can have that discussion.
That dog has died.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as
I agree.
But
now,
my concern is, I don't believe we're going to run this brand new building for 190 grand a year. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I want somebody to show me how you come up with 190 grand.
Then we need to have a discussion. That where all these things are addressed. But
I'm not voting on anything.
And you may be right. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not. Again, I just want you to understand. I'm not.
I don't.
Okay. Well, while we're on that, I have a couple of questions.
Sure. Somebody else say something.
If we're putting $552,000 as a placeholder, my question is, on this architectural proposal, I know we're going to talk about that later, but this is $552,000. Some of the things that I've read in there aren't in, I want to know if they're included or not in the $552,000.
Where are you looking, Bill?
Okay,
on the same page.
I'm on the project summary. You probably aren't. I'm looking at this proposal from the architect. And the issue I have, because I want to verify whether the architectural things that we're going to vote on later.
It was in your electronic packet.
Okay.
If the architectural things that we're going to vote on later are included in this 552. So one of the items I have is, it says this project may require an administrative use permit and county departmental design review plan. And you're going to have a graphic submittal package. This service is not part of the proposal and shall be considered an extra service. Does this 552 number that we're talking about for the building include the architectural design numbers?
If you look at the fee for the service, the architect fee is $32,000. Then you've got $4,500 for electrical, another $3,600 for.
Well, I understand all that. I read all that, but is that in the 552?
Yeah, but if you look at where it says PS&E of $60,000,
yeah,
that's the extra that would cover that. It's plan specifications and engineering. It's all of that wrapped into there. That's approximately, typically, if my math is right.
Looks like 11%.
About 15
on top of the 550.
It should be about 15%.
No,
it's not quite. 15%. Of the renovation. Yeah, you're right. It's 15%.
You're saying the building's going to cost $490, not $552.
It's called $400.
The building
plus
the
50.
Based upon, and remember, we discussed this at the joint meeting we had, and Director Simon, you had a lot of questions then at that time. The building renovation of $402,402, the cost, once you let the bid and construction go, the contractor gets out there and does the work, is about $400,000. To get there, you've got to do the plans and specs, and that's approximately $60,000, which industry standard is about 15%. This is 15% of that number. That's a standard industry number. FF&E, $40,000, that's 10%. It is generally in a building, it's 15%. We drop that down to 10% because there's going to be a lot of open room space, and there's not going to be a lot of furniture that's going to go into it, desks and filing cabinets and things along those lines. So talking to the architect, he felt that the 10% was probably a reasonable number on that. And then you have a $50,000 contingency. So that was, which is 15%, which is where we came up with the numbers.
So about
just over 10%.
In that $60 a square foot or whatever the architect estimated, the fire sprinkler system is included in this $400,000? For the states on here, be coordinated, architectural general coordination services. he'll help us with the following consultants, and it's got automatic fire system. I just want to verify that the fire sprinkler system is included in the interior work that takes us to $400,000.
When I work with Mark on these numbers, it was based upon what his fee would be, which is included in the scope of work. So without specifically asking him that question, and I will do so, I'm going to...
I'm not asking about what his fee would be to take a look at fire sprinkler layouts and prints and all that. What I'm asking is, in this $400,000, because what I'm reading here, I don't think it is the fire sprinkler system included in this estimate of $400,000 to remodel a building?
I believe that it is, but I will verify that. Sprinklering is not a really huge cost. It's not a big ticket item.
But it's an expense.
There's no question. I mean, it's not a $50,000 expense. But I will find out the answer to that question. And remember, I'm not asking for authorization to approve the contract by any stretch.
No, I understand that. But what I'm trying to do is to make sure
as accurate as possible.
Yeah. Correct. That we're looking at $550,000 with the contingencies and all that. What I don't want to have is just what Mark and Kevin just discussed is. 6 months into this thing, we find out that the $50,000 contingency isn't quite enough, and we're now, you've got to come back to us, and we're looking at another additional 75 to 80 or whatever.
Especially something as basic as a code requirement.
Whatever. So I just want to be very cautious that we've got a lot of these things identified. Because the contract price, the way this was written up, at $32,000, we're not really authorizing $32,000 if we voted for this. We're really authorizing $45,000 because of the additional mechanical and electrical consultants that need to be on board. So we're not ready to talk about that, but I wanted to make sure that all of those things are in this $552,000. And if we're looking at trying to put this into the budget now, and we find out later that we're off on those numbers, which we could be, I'm not going to be happy that I'd rather take more time and come back and say, well, you know, after further review and analysis, it's really going to run us 625. I don't know the number.
I think the question that Bill's asking, and I would ask the same thing, is the 552 lights turned on operating permit for the fire department?
Okay, so I'm looking at this letter from Mark Lee, from HCS Engineering. So this is a proposal to Lee to come and...
Mark subs out.
He
subs out his mechanical.
$4,500 for them to do that. So that's not part of the 32. So we need to add that to the 32.
But it's part of the 60,000.
That's okay, as long as
and
it's
we would not be entering into a contract with Mark Lee for the mechanical and the electrical. We would be entering into a contract with the mechanical firm and the electrical firm so that we don't have to pay Mark Lee's overhead.
I understand that totally. I just want to make
those numbers are included in the $60,300.
I just want to make sure that publicly we've talked about that and now we're all understanding it.
I think you need to have another discussion with Mark Lee.
Well, the other question
based on just for the estimate, just so the board knows what's voting on.
Well, the other question I have, and maybe we have to talk about it when this item comes up on the agenda, but how did we get to the point where this is the architect? Maybe it happened prior to myself coming on board, but did we go out for proposals for an architect for this building, or did we just run with him?
He's a known architect in the area, and he had worked on the original plans, I thought, with the Lions Club.
And he's been involved for a while, and he's also, his rates are just unbelievably reasonable.
He's done $200
an hour for
senior architect. Maybe. I just got asked the question because, you know, that's a single source guy, and,
To be honest with you, Director Peace, I didn't have any history with Mark Lee or his firm. So while maybe other members of the board and other members of the community had some background with them, I did not. I went on his website and checked out some of his other projects to make sure that he's just not a residential home designer. He's going to do this project, but he does many, many public facility buildings, many community center types of facilities, and he discounted his fee. I don't recall the amount, but he discounted the fee because he's been a Discovery Bay resident for a long, long time. He's recently moved out of Discovery Bay, I believe within the last couple of months, but he designed the Country Club facility. He designed a number of homes in town.
But he's mostly a commercial, isn't
he? They're all across the board. They do everything. But you're right. We did not go to bid for him. We did not send out an RFP. I would probably guess that had we sent out an RFP, which is not a fee-based proposal, it's a quality of service, and the most qualified, that we would probably end up at the same location.
That's fine. As long as we don't want to talk about it publicly. I don't know the fellow at all. But be that as
what is it,
if we move forward with this process, you will get to know him because he will be here making presentations with respect to concepts and designs and things along those lines.
If we leave it in, we're going to start spending the money. So we always do. If we're going to start this, we're going to start that, we're going to be spending the money. Yeah. I'd rather see it put off until we get that hard number.
So you'd rather revise the budget 3 months from now and put it in, then put it in, hold the place, and then adjust it to where it needs to go? You know it's going to be at least $500,000.
I think, yeah, but is that what it's going to really be?
We'll
have that opportunity to make the final either go or no go. So I'm okay. I'm not okay with what all I'm reading here, but at this point I'm okay with putting in the budget, the 552 at this time, knowing that we've got two or three other shots at just focusing on this building and all the things that are going to take place or could take place, the unknowns and all that, and then making a decision whether to go or no go on that.
Well, I would rather put another $100,000 in to a revised budget if we're that far off than I would be having to go back and revise the budget
I'm not willing to do that, and the reason is I got to get warm and comfortable and get that fuzzy
Bill,
feeling.
Bill, I haven't finished what I'm saying yet. I didn't complete my statement.
Okay.
And you roll your eyes all you want to, but
all
I haven't finished my statement.
Go right ahead, Joe. Go right ahead,
I don't. What I don't want to do is not have anything in the budget for it, and then have to revise the budget and put $500,000 into it. I would rather say, okay, you know what? It's out of our budget. Cancel the project, board the place up, and it's going to be a park. And it's going to provide tennis, and it's going to provide swimming pool. But I don't believe that's what the community wants. That's not what a community center is. It provides programs, it provides places for people to be part of, for the community to come and be the ability. I mean, we did the research on it. We did the poll on it. I mean, the community has responded.
Well, part of the community has responded. That's fine. Our job is to manage the money. And we have to make the decision whether our district can afford to do this or not. Whether the demand is, geez, I've got 5,000 people wanting to have this thing done. We have to make the decision whether we can afford to do it or not and maintain it in the future. As Mark was indicating, it's one thing to say, well, it costs us $500,000 to remodel it, or it's going to cost $600,000. We have to make the call that, okay, we do that now into the future. Is this, you know, what's that bring us? And we'll have that time for that discussion. So I'm comfortable just saying,
even as a placeholder, right? Now.
Right. I'm there.
That's what
I'm not
trying to say. I'd rather leave it in than not have it there.
And I didn't say anything about taking it out, but I didn't want to put another $100,000 in it.
Well, not now. I'm just saying we don't know what the future holds.
Well, whatever. We'll get there when we get there.
Mr. Vice President, that concludes any of the comments that I have relative to the budget moving forward. I do have it on the agenda for tomorrow night in the event that the board does want to have a question or two or thinks about something. I wasn't sure if there was the discussion was going to continue on to tomorrow night, so I went ahead and planned for it just in case. But what we will be doing is we will be revising the budget numbers and coming back to you on June the 19th for budget adoption. We can still at that point in time, you have to remember you can always make amendments to the budget. It can always be changed. But we'll be coming back to you on June the 19th But the one area I would like to have some clarification on is that you discussed with respect to the generator replacement fund. And I would like to get some direction on that because I was getting different opinions moving forward with that. So I would just like to have a number to throw in or not to include at all.
I, from my point of view, I have no problem starting a fund for the generators, but I also have no doubt that those generators will run another 20 or 30 years. I mean, there's no reason for them to go down. I don't think we need to put 50 grand a year away from generators. And I could, you guys may disagree with me. I mean, 10 grand, 15 grand, y'all have a problem with that.
We got the reserves if we have no crap.
Exactly. Right? And they've never, we've never really, other than you've had the small generator go down, these things get no use of any kind. They're
well, that was one of my questions, were so like, how often do we use them?
Never.
Yeah.
You know, they come on once in a while. They're going to live, they'll live forever. So
then again, I'm not the expert. I don't know where the 50,000 came from. I mean, if it can be revised, I think he's agreed to talk to Virgil about it.
I mean, we've got reserves.
Right.
Well, I don't have any problem starting a reserve fund specifically for generators as a whole, generic generators, whatever that is. And now we've got a fund set up. If we have the ability to put it in our budget at this particular time, I'm fine with going with it. Future, maybe we cut that down and we just put 10 in each year from here forward. But we got to have enough to cover something close.
I would recommend, let me come back with a, let me get with Virgil and try to, these are really, no, this would be the 19th. If I have it for tomorrow night, we can talk about it tomorrow night,
okay.
Certainly. But if I get the information, you know, these generators are about the same age. And if one goes, would the other one go? I don't know. Because they don't get used all the time, that, as you know, causes problems with mechanical equipment. But let me go ahead and get that number, and I will come back to you with the number that I think that we might think that a generator cost. And we're not really talking the trailer ones. We're talking about the big stationary ones.
I mean, they've got, Bay City's Auto Wash has one bigger than this one. That building is 30 years old. They've had the same generator, other than normal maintenance, it's still there. And air power goes out, the thing comes, it sounds like a freight train going off. It comes off on the side of the building. It's 30 years old. You know, they're not designed to go down at 100 hours. These things are made to be in critical conditions. They're made to be heavy duty.
All over in the Philippines.
They're extremely robust. There's no question.
Yeah, so I mean, I just
believe me when
they're going to panic that they're going to go down, and we better start taking 50 grand to rebuild them.
I have a couple questions prior to ending. This is back in the community center because I got off and I didn't ask the question. Under operations and maintenance, there's a line item rent and facility expense. And in 13-14 budget, it's $22,500. But in the 14-15, it jumps to $32,500. It's a $10,000 addition increase. It's about 44%. Why would that be?
Well, for the name is a little bit of a misnomer. It's there's no rent involved. It's facility maintenance. It's landscaping. It's things along those lines. And I'm not exactly certain why it was increased from 22 to 32.
Newtown Square Lights?
No, but.
Well, then we.
And again, you have to remember this: the second year is just a placeholder.
Well, I understand, but we're trying to be accurate. Yeah. And if it's not rent to facility expense, then we need to change the heading on that line item because I would never have guessed that it would be maintenance or what or landscaping.
We're not renting porta potties with that money, right?
No. Well, you know, I don't know unless I ask the question.
I've got to keep them kind of uniform, so I want them to match all the budget lines. So it, the header is rent facility expense. Under that are rent maintenance items,
All right, so I'm not seeing the sub-paragraph.
The
sub,
yeah.
Okay. All right, then that's fine. And then same thing on other. You had I don't know what other is, but $17,000, $1,700, fine. Then it jumps to $3,600, 50% increase the next year. I don't know what's, it's not a big number. But
we'll go back and look at it. We just finished this afternoon.
Right.
So, I mean, like I indicated earlier, this budget has been a little bit of a work in progress, and it's been a little bit of a prickly pear as well.
Okay, can you do one other thing, please? Can you get hold of this architect and find out if the 400 grand includes everything in this building? Sprinklers, permits, I mean, like I said, turning the lights on with an operating permit from the fire department. Because I would like to know that. Anything else?
No, unless you have anything that you're interested in discussing at this point in time.
Nope.
Anybody else? Or adjourn.